Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Chris Lorton here. I'll be your host. And with me today, my guest, Jeff Blackerby. Welcome, Jeff.
Well, good morning. It's nice to be here. I appreciate it.
Yes. And you actually just work right down the road.
Yeah, it wasn't a long drive.
No. What are we, about quarter of a mile? Half
quarter a mile, mile?
About half a mile?
Quarter
something
mile,
like
yeah.
that? Mm-hmm. You could have walked.
I don't do a lot of walking anymore.
How about your bicycle? You ride your bicycle?
My bike don't get out much anymore.
No?
No.
But you got a good truck.
I do have a good truck.
Yes.
Got to have a good truck.
Besides being a Blackerby, mm-hmm. which, I mean, there's a lot of Blackerbys around.
A lot of
Blackerbys, which is great. Blackerbys are good people, good stock, as Father Hembro would say.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, they are.
And I think a lot of people know the Blackerby name just because how many of us were in public spotlight, I guess, or worked for the county or the city, you know. And that started with Harold Blackerby.
Harold?
Yeah.
Now, I guess, how is that related to Herman? Would that be Herman? Is that Herman?
Yeah.
Oh, the same.
Yeah.
So he went by Harold and Herman?
Herman, yeah. Herman Blackerby, most people know. Herman Blackerby is who I'm referring to.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Herman was on, you know, well, he was sheriff for a long time. He was chief of police for a long time, mayor for a long time.
Yeah.
So, and his, you know, his family had, you know, there was Rick, who was a police officer, and Sloak, and Ron. So, you know, just a lot of people know the Blackerbys, you know, just from a lot of...
You know, can I tell you about when Herman and I first met?
Is it a good story?
Yeah, it's a good one. It was good. I really respected Herman Blackerby, Mr. Blackerby. You know,
most people do.
Yeah, I came to town. Me and my brother, we were young, full of vinegar, and you know, anyway, came wanted a liquor license. We were going to open up a nightclub, right? So we go into the office, talk to Herman. Mr. Blackerby said, told him what we wanted to do. He goes, boys, let me tell you. He goes, I'm not issuing you a liquor license. I got so many liquor licenses, and that's all I'm going to give out. However, if you want a liquor license and you want to do what you want to do, go ahead. You can buy any place in town because they're all for sale and get you a liquor license. So it's like, okay. So that's it.
That's what you had to do.
That's
you?
What we did. And yeah. It was, you know, in an afterthought, after being in the business for a while, I mean, that was a good philosophy, really,
sure.
You know, because it kept the market, you know, where it was real competitive, you know, so just issuing more licenses. So, yeah, it was good. I respected that.
He was one of the people that, you know, he really treated everybody well.
Yes.
And everybody knew that, too.
Yeah.
And that's why he was so respected throughout the whole county, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then, you know, my brother, who's been chief police for, you know, 25 years, that's another one where people just happen to hear his name or see his name on in the newspaper. You know, that's why a lot of people recognize the Blackerbys. And, of course, my dad had Blackerby Motor for a long time and part of a 518. And, you know, that's how most people know the Blackerbys, just from businesses uptown and through public relations, you know.
The thing that I find interesting, just growing up in Calhoun, but being in, you know, almost 40 years here in Jerseyville, is that the families, all right, these innate traits of families, you know.
Sure.
And all families, a lot of times, have these inherited traits that they can't get rid of, you know. I mean, good or bad, they're there. You know, like with the Blackerbys, they're always calm, cool, and collected. I mean, they're just very even, you know, like,
yeah.
Well, Brad, the chief. I mean, he's calm and cool. You know, the only one that might break that, and I don't know, maybe he got would be Parker. Now, Parker, he can get a little excited.
I knew you were going to say Parker.
And I love Parker.
Yeah, that's an exception.
Yeah, but it's all good. I love him.
Yeah, and you know, with me working in my job for the last 36 years, you know, there ain't too many landlords I haven't worked with in the county. You know.
Yeah, and of course you graduated from Jersey, right?
Yeah. Jerseyville High School, graduated in 84.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then?
Grew up on a couple farms here in Jersey County. My dad, who was, you know, service manager at Ford Garage, was actually a farmer on the side, too. And we had a farm north of town that I was very lucky to grow up on.
Yeah? How were you lucky to grow up on it?
I just think everybody that grew up on a farm knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah?
The work habits and just being able to have property to go out.
Freedom?
And freedom.
As a young boy?
Yeah, and I think you started doing stuff a little bit earlier, like driving cars and tractors.
Right.
And, you know, there wasn't too many times where we weren't working on the weekends or cutting wood or helping out on the farm with the cattle or, you know.
You know, you were out in nature a lot.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when your parents were at work in the summertime, you'd walk out of the house in the morning and then you'd come back at 5 when your parents get back home. And it's a lot different than what kids do now.
Yeah.
You know, you were outside all day playing in the creeks or fishing or, you know, doing something outside. And a lot of people don't have a chance to experience that. You know?
I know. I grew up in town, and I always liked going to my buddies that mm-hmm. lived in the country.
Yeah.
And like you said, the thing that always, like, threw me for a loop is they had access to, you know, they could drive the truck out to the pond, or they could drive tractors, and they can get a gun out, start shooting it out the back.
And that's what we did. That's what we did, you know.
Yeah.
I remember being 12 and 13, you know, when Dad would come over and get me or my brother Greg and say, hey, I'm stuck down there. You guys got to jump in the truck and help pull it out. And you're like, well, I don't know how to drive a standard transmission, you know, which everything was back then. So you had to learn pretty quick on stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you learn how to fix stuff, too.
Yeah, because you're out there by yourself.
Yeah, and there wasn't a 24-hour Walmart or parts stores like there is now. You know, you had to make something or...
And every farm had its own little shop of some sort you could fix something.
Most farmers know how to make stuff
or
how to improvise and make something work till they get the right part, you know. But, no, that was nice. It was nice, you know, and Dad sold that farm. And luckily when, you know, my mom and him got divorced, my mom married another gentleman, Jack Marshall, who had another farm down by Grafton. So he had 700 or 800 acre farm down there that I got a chance to live on. And, you know, we had horses and cattle and hogs and you
know. Now, horses, were you a horseman? Did you love horses?
I did.
Yeah.
At times, you know.
Yeah, horses are cool.
Some people say they're very smart. Some people say they're very dumb. I think they're both when they want to be. But, you know, we didn't ride it all the time. But, you know, it was nice to get the horses out and ride. And back then, we used them to check the cattle a lot. You know, we didn't have, you know, back in the 80s, you didn't have side-by-sides and four-wheelers like we do now. And, you know, we didn't even have a lot of four-wheel drive trucks back then. So a lot of times we'd actually get on the horses and cruise the cattle line, you know.
And so, like, your job now mm-hmm. as a resource conservationist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
RC.
You fell right into doing what you loved as a child.
Yeah, I was it's kind of a funny story. I was down at Pure Marquette for some kind of career day they had down there, and they had foresters down there, fisheries biologists, wildlife biologists, and that's something I always enjoyed doing, hunting and fishing and taking care of the land. And I was down there, and I started talking to all them, and, you know, I said, well, you know, what do you think I need to do? You know, this is my hobbies, and I really like to make a career out of it. And for some reason, a lot of them went to SIU Carbondale, and they said they got a real good program down at Carbondale. So I enrolled down at SIU Carbondale, and I started out as a forestry major for a couple of years and decided I, you know, liked the wildlife aspect of it a little bit more. So I switched over to wildlife biology. I got a degree in zoology from down there. So graduated in 88. Can you believe it? I did it in 4 years, you know.
Oh, I believe it.
No. But and when I got out, I had I was going to get on with IDNR, and I was, you know, looking for a wildlife position. But back then, it was pretty political back then, and a lot of the job openings, they said you're probably going to have to go up to the northern part of the state and work for a few years.
But you were willing to do that if you had to?
I was going to, but, you know, and in the meantime, I had a couple farmers call me and said, hey, there's this local job opening up at the USDA office up here for the Jersey County Soil and Water Conservation District as a resource conservationist. We think you'd be real good at it, Jeff. You know, it's right up what you want to do. And I went up and interviewed for that, and luckily I got that, and that was, you know, 36 years ago.
How old were you?
22, 23,
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
To get hired to this job.
Yeah, and...
Since you were 22, you've been doing this job.
Yeah. A lot of local farmers around there, and, you know, after I got the job, and a lot of them said, well, one reason, you know, we thought you'd be good is because we know how hard of a worker your dad was.
Yeah.
And if you're half the worker your dad was... You're
well, just like
right.
I was talking about, innate things, you know, you inherit these things.
Yeah. So So lucky enough, I've been there, you know, ever since, you know.
Cool.
And I still enjoy going to work every day. You know, a lot of people don't, you know, they're getting to my age. And I got a lot of friends retiring and moving on and doing different stuff. But, you know, I still like going to work every day.
Great. Me too. I still like going to work.
I still like meeting with the landowners of Jersey County.
Yeah.
And putting conservation on the land. And the day I quit doing that, then I'll start talking about retirement maybe a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But, no.
Hey, we're going to get into what you actually do.
Sure.
Okay. But let's mention your family. You're a family man.
I am married. I am.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I got married in, well, it was 92 to my wife, Connie Dugan.
Yeah.
Her mom and dad were John and Betty Dugan from Fielden.
Okay.
John, you know.
She's got Betty's. Getting go. Yeah.
Johnny passed away, I think, 2016. Years ago, he sold appliances, but, you know, most people remember him as the mailman.
Mm-hmm.
He covered the Fielden area for a mailman for a long time. I did that for a number of years. Betty was a bus driver for the school district, and when she retired here, you know, she opened up Betty's Get and Go, which I think everybody's familiar with Betty's Get and Go.
I think it's a heck of a business.
I do too. I think it fills a little niche out there, and you know, she loves it, keeps her busy, and I deal with a lot of farmers out there, and they always say it's pretty handy to have Betty's Get and Go there to save me a little trip to town, you know. Whether it be a bag of ice or flour or gallon of milk or eggs or something like that, it's pretty quick stopping in.
So how about Connie? Where'd you meet Connie at?
I was actually bartending. I was behind the bar bartending one night. Just jumped behind the bar to help him bartend, and she came in with a group
Where
of friends.
Where at? What bar?
Lake Westside.
Okay.
Yeah, I bartended there a little bit when I first got out of college.
She came in the door. You eyeballed her.
You
started feeding her free drinks.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Well, I might. I can't say that.
Well, maybe you start pouring them a little stiffer.
Yeah. And we've seen each other a couple times beforehand and talked and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And no, it worked out pretty good. And we dated for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and we got married in 92. And we got a son, Bo.
Yes.
Bo's 31. He works down at Winchester Olin. And he's real proud that he's a firefighter here in Jerseyville.
Cool.
He really enjoys being on the fire department here in Jerseyville. Then my daughter, Brittany, she's 29, and she lives in St. Louis now. She's got a degree in arts and theater performance. She's been all over the place. She started out in Chicago. The week after she graduated, she went to Chicago, lived there for 5 or 6 years, and came back to St. Louis, then Omaha, then Seattle. Now she's back in St. Louis.
Wow.
She's married
That's
now.
That's impressive.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's one of the girls that she wanted to get out of the small town.
Yeah.
I got one that won't ever come back to a small town. I got one that'll never leave a small town.
Well, that happens.
It does. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I got a couple like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that it on your kids?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. We had two and that was plenty.
Yes. So in your job as a conservationist, I just looking at some of my notes here, one top of your list or on your list, soil erosion, helping people keep you, like, explain what's your duties or what do you do on that?
Yeah, that's, you know, as you know, the Soil and Water Conservation District, we work with the Natural Resource Conservation Service. I got kind of a complicated job as far as funding because I'm actually kind of a county worker, but I work with state money in a federal building. We got county, city, and federal all involved in my daily operations.
Man, you're connected up to everybody, aren't
it's,
you?
Yeah, it's, and you know, when we get new people working in the office, it's hard to explain how everything works because we got funding sources from three different places, you know. And they're all at times can be hard to get money from, you know, especially the state. You know, these last 15 years, it's been pretty tough getting
money from the state.
Yeah, the state's, you know, we're doing better now, hopefully. But yeah.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Jeff Blackerby with me. He's the head of he's a resource conservationist here locally in Jerseyville at the USDA office.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right on Route 16, Route 16, edge of town.
I always tell everybody it's right next to Farm and Home.
Yep, right next to
Farm and Home. Everybody knows where Farm and Home is, where the big government building there next to Farm and Home.
So if a farmer or even anybody that's, whether it be a farmer or anybody that's got land, right?
Yes.
And they need some help with it. They got some issues.
Yeah.
They can come to your office and you can help them out.
You bet. You know, we kind of focus ourselves.
How much do you have to charge them for that?
You know, they might have to buy me a cup of coffee sometime. I see them or something, but
I got you.
You know, and that's one thing about all of our services are free.
Yeah.
You know, and we kind of pride ourselves. You know, the agency that used to be with us, it used to be called the Soil Conservation Service. It was started back after the Dust Bowls and when all we had all the problems but back in, I believe it was 95 or 96, the Soil Conservation Service changed its name to Natural Resource Conservation Service. Just because we're just not doing soil erosion control, we're doing a broad range of everything. You know, tree plantings, tree maintenance, invasive plant control, wildlife plantings, just about everything. You know, soil erosion is still one of our biggest programs.
Well, what's the number one thing to stop soil erosion?
Conservation cover.
Conservation cover.
Yeah, and by what I mean by that, when I started, everybody was still doing a lot of tillage.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't, you know, when I started in 89, they weren't doing a lot of moldboard plowing, but I think all your listeners know what moldboard plowing is. That's when you get the old tractor and you turn up that field and there's no residue on top.
Right.
So in the 80s, we were having a movement from that to what's called reduced tillage, where they come out and disc, do a light disking and bury some of that residue. So they're not working up near as much and we're still leaving some ground cover on top. And by crop residue, I mean just the residues left from last year's crops like corn stalks or bean stubble. So when I started in the late 80s, the big push was to go from reduced tillage to no-till. So I got right into that early 90s when everybody was getting no-till drills. There was all kind of new products on the market for landowners to try. And that's why I had a lot of them available on my lot that I took care of so farmers could come up and try a no-till drill.
Oh, okay.
I had John Deere, Great Plains. I had four different no-till drills. So they got a chance to try all that stuff before they went out and bought one. You know,
good.
It worked out real good. But so that was the big push for no-till for years. And, you know, by the time, 2000 came around, 75% of our rough ground was being no-tilled.
So part of that, I got on my notes here, stormwater, as far as handling stormwater. Yeah. That's part of it,
That's
too.
Part of it, too.
Yeah.
And that's more of an urban thing we deal with. That, you know, me specifically in the Soil Water District is, you know, everybody thinks that I work just with farmers, which, you know, most time I do, because, you know, most of the land in Jersey County is owned by farmers, you know. But, I still deal with, you know, stormwater problems people have in the cities.
Yeah,
a lot of neighbors, and most time it's not a community. I mean, they want to get together and solve problems as neighbors and stuff. So I'll go over and maybe design something for them or figure out if we need to put a hard structure in or, just maybe sometimes it's just a grass waterway in between them or something or a little diversion or something like that or maybe some tile or with a straight pipe on it. Or there's a lot of different stuff we can do.
Mm-hmm. I see.
You know, it's just another service we offer.
How about wildlife planting?
Yeah, planting. Yeah, we do a lot of wildlife. We have a lot of farmers and a lot of land is being bought by out of state and out of town.
For hunting. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll talk about CRP in a little bit. But, you know, so we have landowners come in that, you know, they still want to farm the ground, but they want to get as much benefit for wildlife as they can. And that's when we'll kind of come in and do some planning for them of what to plant, when to plant it, where to plant it, you know, what works best in this area. And, most of them are deer and turkey hunters. You know, and, you know, we like to get more quail and rabbits, you know, go back to like they used to be, but it's tough, you know, and the more habitat we put in, the more of that stuff you're going to see. It's kind of weird. You might have one landowner that owns 200 acres that want to get a lot of deer on their property. Well, their neighbor right next to them might have another 200 acres where they don't like the deer because they're eating all their crops and they want to get rid of them. So there's a fine line in there where, you know, how you manage two landowners right next to each other where they have exactly opposite goals on their farms, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you handle that?
It's tough. You got one guy wanting to get nuisance permit while the other guy's trying to get them all over on his property, you know. So, trying to plant something where the wildlife will come and stay on your property, and that's what we're talking about, wildlife planning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice here engineering. So you do some engineering?
Yeah. So when you work for NRCS and the districts, a lot of the stuff we build, you have to have a little bit of engineering background, like grass waterways, dry dams, terraces, grade shape structures. So if you go out in the field and you see the bulldozers building ponds and dry dams and stuff, to get cost share, we need to make sure they're built.
Ah.
So we're using taxpayers' money to build structures. So you know, RNC wants to make sure they meet standard and specs. So anybody, once they get on, they have to go through several years of training to get engineering approval from our state conservationist and our state engineer. So you just can't go out and start doing what you want. You have to follow some standard specs because money is involved in it.
Okay.
Because a lot of our programs are cost shared, 75%.
I see. So Do you, being around this for so long, can you engineer a pond as far as like that? Do you have the knowledge to do that?
On the ponds, you know, we don't go out and give a full-blown engineering.
I'm not saying ponds necessarily, just the engineering part of it as far as on farm. Are you?
Yeah, we'll come out and, you know, that's something I do a lot of pond management. I'll come out and see if the first thing we need to do is see if a pond will work there. Because a lot of people say, well, if water comes through it or if there's a big ditch there, it's a great place for a pond. But
not necessarily.
Not necessarily. A lot of times you have too much water. A lot of times you don't have enough water coming back in to keep it recharged, you know. The soils are a limitation. There's a lot of rock underneath there, bedrock. So there's a lot of things we look at before we let you know if it's a suitable spot for a pond or not, you know.
Jeff, I hate to say this, but we've run out of time.
Well, that's fine.
What we're going to do, and we got some more stuff to cover. Mm-hmm. So we're going to stop here, and we'll pick it up, and we'll do another episode. So
that's perfect.
Because we do have a lot to cover.
Yeah, I'll talk as much as you want.
Okay. All right. So see you for now, and we'll have you back in next episode. Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, thank you.